Do you have words you live by? Remember, some of us, we remember our parents or our grandparents saying a famous one-liner, I guess you call it. What about phrases you look to depending on the situation you're in, that phrase comes up, right? Like, don't spend money that you don't have, right? Comes up when you're looking at a brand new car, you know, or something that you can't afford. Or do they take the forms of mottos or slogans or motivational sayings? Words can have an impact on us, such as, and grandparents, we're at this level, we're on the second tier of supervision, right? We're not first tier. And we'd say, I wouldn't do that if I were you, you know, when I was just about to jump on a horse without a saddle, and you see what it does. And an elderly man says, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Yeah. Or how about in the scripturally, it says run. There's some, it just says flee, right? Remember some of it on the scriptures? And here's another one that was saying to me by a teacher. It says, don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. And that comes to me at pretty consistent. And something that my father would tell us, especially when my brother and I were teenagers, he would say, tell me who you hang around with and I'll tell you who you are. And it's scripturally backed by Proverbs 13:20 kind of says that. The use of motivational slogans are a way of coping with difficult situations as a guidance for a day-to-day life. Which is a go-to phrase, right? Whose words are we following, though? Right? Some of the more common words and phrases people use may sound like they have some type of spiritual origin, but often they're anything but biblical. A world that believes it knows best but comes up with a cliche. You know there's a cliche, right? Or buzzwords. Yet God's word is the foundation on which we stand, right? Let's go to John. John 6, 63. John 6, 63. In the middle of the verse we're going to read, it's John 6. John the Beloved, right? And it says, right in the middle of the verse, it says, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Okay, remember I talked some sermonettes ago about our brain should be in a spiritual level, and then there's a normal level, and then there's a reprobate level. This is a spirit level that's, you are spirit, right? And they are life. There's a stark difference between our human nature and God's nature. When we compare modern models, self-motivational expressions, and personal catchphrases to the words of God, we see that they are often incompatible. You've heard of the catchphrase, you can do anything. That's a lie. You can't do anything. God doesn't give us. God gives us gifts, and we should capitalize on the gifts that we have. Motivational slogans versus words of life. Let's look further at some of the popular slogans and sayings that some see as wise words to live by. And these are words that I've, phrases that I've catched in the news or, you know, sometimes there's talk shows and people come, some movie stars come. And number one is, says, be true to yourself. You've heard that? Be true to yourself. And as if the idea of being true to ourselves may sound harmless, but underneath, it's really about putting our sense of self above all else. Me first. This is all an attitude of doing what feels right. Feels, there goes that word, feels right to us. Instead of doing what is morally, ethically, and spiritually right according to God's word. That makes you unpopular lots of times when you stick to God's word, doesn't it? Which is, brings me to the title of my sermonette, brethren, Words You Can Go By. Words You Can Go By. Being true to yourself can lead you into all sorts of trouble. I feel I should be class president. Oh yeah, but you have a D average. So whether you feel it or not doesn't qualify you. Qualify and feel, two different things. Impure behaviors, disobedient to parents, unfaithfulness in marriage, dishonesty, and a myriad of other unrighteous acts can bring you thinking that way. In contrast, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, we have to put all of our old self, remember we talked about that, away. Truly following God's words requires us to change, there goes that word, change our priorities, not putting self first. A Christian must strive to follow Jesus. Two, I heard this in another one, it says just believe in yourself. There's nothing wrong with being confident or humbly acknowledging our strength. In athletics, it comes out very often. When I was a softball coach, there was a parent that brought her two daughters. He said, she's good at third base, and I feel that you should be, she should play in second. Oh yeah. I said, I haven't seen them at practice. You know? No, but I know these, I know my daughters. Oh, you do? Yeah. But just because you say so doesn't mean it happens. Meaningless to say the girls couldn't play. The danger lies in the pride that comes from forgetting our abilities. Our abilities come from God, not just because we feel that we can do it. Or she can, I feel that she could play third base. Well, no, does she have the ability? Or even worse, willfully ignoring his influence in our lives. Not being qualified for something just because you say you are. When we leave God out of the picture, we're left to rely only on ourselves. And that's a pretty lonely way, isn't it, brother? No backup, you know? If our true reliance is on the Father and the Son, we can find strength and confidence in our situation. In whatever situations we find, we can call on God and He'll be there. And not one-hit wonder, right? Because we're always meditating. Meditating, we always have that connection with God. We always pray with Him. And you hear of brethren said, well, you know, I called out to God, but He didn't answer. Well, you know, when was the last time you prayed? Or, you know. The physical worries of life can be overcome by the spiritual strength we find when we put our trust in God. That's found in Psalms 55:22. Three, it says, here's another one I found, and I hear it time and time again. It says, you can have it all. Proverbs 28:26 says that, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. The desire to get is one of the most dangerous attitudes we can have. When we set our hearts on the physical, we quickly lose sight of the spiritual. And as a result, we start to hedge on the break of God's rules, including the Ten Commandments. Jesus asked us in Matthew 16:26, it says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, if he owns everything and loses his soul? Ask King Solomon, right? In the world tomorrow, that's one of the things I'm going to ask. He had everything, but I think he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes because he found that he lost his relationship with God. We cannot have it all. in this physical world and trying to have it all means neglecting the things of God. When you put what you ambitions and you put everything it is in sacrifice of your family, first God, and then your family. That's what it says in Matthew 6:24. You can find that. And then on top of that, in the verse 33, it says, on that same chapter, it says, a Christian, it's our responsibility to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we should be. And then everything comes behind that. God's laws should always come before the physical attractions of this world. Four, live your truth. Live your truth. That's another bad. We live in a world that frames truth as a subjective thing. You know, it's if on a given situation, if you want to say the truth, well, go ahead. But if you need to cover something, well, it's a white lie. We frequently see this mindset displayed as a confirmation bias, where a person believes only the information that supports his or her own point of view or desired outcome, while disregarding any evidence to the contrary. Well, I want to be, God says it's, we're all love, so that way, that gives me permission to live this lifestyle. So God is love. No. This mindset is prominent within emotionally charged issues. Again, like gender identity, abortion rights, and politics. John 17:17 says, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus is the one. That's 14. And John 14:6 says, living by the truth is not a matter of personal experience or opinion, but of following Jesus as an example and living by every word of God. Point number five, following your heart. I heard this. This is the last one I heard. God tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what Jeremiah 17:9 says. But yet you hear that time and time again. Let's go to Matthew 10:38. Matthew 10:38, verse 39. It says, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me, and he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. All the ordeals that we're going through to follow God's way of life, we will live for it in the world tomorrow. If we follow our own desires instead of Jesus' example, we can lose a spiritual connection to God. Remember that, three levels, right? But if we resist the pulls of this physical life, we can gain access to eternal life. Though not every slogan or saying we stumble on will be wrong, we're always on solid ground when our lives are guided by the words found in God's holy scriptures. If we weigh our decisions, desires, actions, and every thought against the words of Jesus Christ and God the Father, we'll find that their words are words we can live by. Brethren, fear God and keep his commandments.